It is our monthly check-in with Commissioner of the Department of Consumer Protection, Brian Caffarelli, is back. And let's look at the aftermath of the legislative session, which ended earlier this month. Brian, thank you for joining us. Could you maybe highlight some of the changes that will help protect consumers in our state?
Sure. Hey, Melissa, good to be with you this morning. Yeah, the session ended earlier this month, and it was very busy, and there are some good things that came out in terms of consumer protections. The first one I think that everyone would be happy to hear about is there's a law that passed, it's a Public Act 25-44, that eliminates junk fees. And so really what this is all those times when you're going to purchase something and you think you've got the full price, and then you go to check out and there's all these other fees that are added on, and what you thought was going to be $100 is now $143, and you can't figure out why. And so it cracks down on hidden or junk fees for any good or service that is being sold or leased.
Wait, so Brian, pause.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, okay.
I think so. The reason I ask this question is because when we say that, to me, that's a really big deal. However, I want to make sure it's super clear for people. When we say junk fees, on a national level, this has been an issue. For example,
right,
when you go to venues for concerts that you need tickets, sporting events, what have you. When you talk about junk fees, are these specifically for Connecticut-based companies, businesses, hotels, restaurants, or are we talking about, you know, something like a Live Nation, a Ticketmaster? I mean, I just want to make sure people are not disappointed if we're, you know, when we're saying, hey, junk fees are out of the picture now.
So they won't be disappointed. And so we are talking about goods or services that are being sold or leased in Connecticut. So
okay,
whoever's doing it. And what it means is that these businesses cannot advertise a price without disclosing. It's disclosure. We want consumers to be informed. We're not trying to, you know, they just want to get what they pay for. And so businesses cannot advertise a price without disclosing all the fees that are required at the time of the purchase or lease.
But what if they use a third party? So I asked this question because if you are going to a venue in Connecticut, say a Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater, say a Toad's Place in New Haven, wherever it may be, and they use a third party, usually distributor, for their ticket sales, do they have to now tell you that there are essentially fees on top of this? Or do they just not say, you know, tickets going for X amount of money? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
So what we're talking about now is at the time of purchase. So that's really what we're focused on. So when you're going to make that transaction, and most of this is in the context of doing it online. So if it's going directly to the amphitheater site or a third party, whoever it is, they have to, at the time that you go to select the seats or the product or item or service, if it's not included at the price, at the time you're going to purchase it. And this includes, they can't omit federal, state, or local taxes in the displayed price, what they display. So they can't say, you want to go see this concert, it's $79, and you click on it, you enter in all your information, you know how much time that takes, and so you invest in it, and then you get to the end. And
it's the worst feeling. Yeah, it's the worst. I hate it.
So really, what it's doing is just trying to create a fair and honest marketplace. So we're not saying that you can't, we're not trying to regulate the price by any means. We're just saying if you're going to charge this price, if you're going to charge a consumer something, you have to tell them the total price that they're going to pay for the product or service that they're trying to buy.
Yeah, not at the checkout.
Time they're trying,
mm-hmm.
Right, at the time you're advertising it.
Yeah.
So for the time of purchase. So what it does is it holds businesses accountable and prohibits them from adding these sneaky costs right before checkout. And we've worked, you know, the legislature, all the people who crafted this bill, the Attorney General's office, we worked with the businesses to give them, you know, to have this conversation, to let them know what's being expected of them. And there's a runway, too, because they need to get time to operationalize this and make sure that they're all compliant. So it's effective July 1 of next year. So, I mean, things take time, but, you know, everybody understands in terms of the actors who are involved in this, what's being required of them. And but if they do violate it, after that, And, you know, it would be considered engaging in unfair, deceptive trade practices, and that would be a violation of our Unfair Trade Practices Act. So our agency or the Attorney General could take action against them.
So again, we have Commissioner Brian Caffarelli here, and we are going over some of the legislative matters that happened during this past session that really could help protect consumers. Brian, before we switch gears, were there any other pieces of legislation you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, I think that another one, similarly, starting October of this year, it's car dealers. And so a lot of times people, you know, go to buy a car, and it's a very confusing process. So what the bill that passed 25-111 aims to do is really to give more disclosure and just like the junk fees, have informed consumers. So really it requires car dealers to include a listing of all the fees that you're going to be paying and whether or not they are required or optional. And so this includes the dealer conveyance fee or the processing fee. So any fee charge or add-on for a consumer good must be stated separately as these additional fees and charges. So it really protects consumers by requiring car dealers to be transparent about additional fees and making consumers aware of the amount of each fee and what the final price will be. So it eliminates kind of the surprise or hidden fees that the consumers oftentimes have found when trying to purchase a car, or they may think that it's a, you know, just a required fee or, you know, add on that they don't have an option not to purchase.
In recent years, cashless has become a trend among many venues and businesses across the country, but it has sparked conversations about reverse ATMs. Commissioner Brian Caffarelli is here from our Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection. Brian, what's the latest about reverse ATMs and what should businesses in Connecticut know?
Yeah, businesses and consumers too, right? I mean, so let me just first say that in Connecticut, retailers are required to accept cash payments, so with very few exceptions. So if a person is selling a good or service, they cannot refuse to accept cash as a form of payment or post signs saying the cash is not accepted. And most importantly, they cannot charge anybody paying in cash a higher price than those paying with cards. So what has happened a lot is that businesses, instead of taking cash, as they have used this reverse ATM, whereby you put in cash into a machine and you get out a debit card. So they can do that. So if they don't accept cash, they can provide this device called the reverse ATM, and you receive a prepaid card. But there were changes this year because what had happened was that they were not being really forthcoming and honest with the consumers when they would give these ATM cards, and so or prepaid cards rather. And it might not be the business; it might be the reverse ATM company. But they had what they can no longer do, I should say, is they can't require a fee for that card, because before they used to charge $1 or $5 fee just to get the card. They can't charge you a fee to check a balance or add additional cash. They can't require you to deposit more than $1 to get the card. And they can't require you to put in your personal information to get the card. So they used to ask you for all sorts of stuff like email and phone number and address and whatnot. And it can't have an expiration date or limit the number of transactions. So really just kind of level the playing field for the consumer in the instances where businesses are not accepting cash, but providing the reverse ATM, which they are allowed to do if they don't accept the cash. So if the device malfunctions and it's waiting to be serviced, they do have to go back to accepting cash. And so, that's basically the deal with the reverse ATMs, just to make clear to everyone that, that's the way it operates now.
And again, we have Commissioner Caffarelli here. And really quick, Brian, I want to make sure we get to summer scams, because I know the summertime tends to be a common time for door-to-door sales. What should homeowners know to avoid any potential scams?
Yeah, it is. So a lot of times people, if you believe it, they still come door-to-door as something to sell their goods or services. And so just a few tips. I know we've talked about some of these before. If you're approached by a business, especially a home improvement service, just take down the company's information. Let them know you want to look into it more. Anybody who's legitimate will allow you to do research. Always verify the credentials. If you're approached by a home improvement business like roofing, paving, or masonry company, you can verify their credentials using our e-license tool online to make sure that they have a registration with the Department of Consumer Protection. And so working with a registered professional is important because if the project goes wrong, you can be eligible for a new home or home improvement guarantee fund where we can make you whole and then go after the bad actor after you get a judgment. So some other good tips when you're, you know, considering doing things, engaging with someone who's trying to sell you a good or service at the door, read reviews online, check the company's business rating on the Better Business Bureau, double check that what you got from them is the same on their website, and don't fall for high pressure tactics. They door-to-door salespeople have a reputation for making the homeowner feel pressured, saying that it's a limited time offer, or else you're going to lose this great deal. And so if you feel pressured, you can always cancel the contract, and you did sign it and you're not binded to it. You do have 3 days to do that. And any home improvement project, it must be in writing. You must have a written contract. So, and you want to do that for your own good and, quite frankly, for the contractor's good, so that you're all on the same page of what it will cost, how long it's going to take, and what exactly they're going to do.
Commissioner Caffarelli, I always appreciate getting your perspective, but also just getting your insight into what we can do to better protect ourselves, be in the know. I thank you so much always for stopping
thank
by
you.
Every month.
Thank you so much. Have
of
a great
course.
Day.
You too. Commissioner Caffarelli. Bye-bye. Here from the Department of Consumer Protection on WACC.